that in some fashion, okay, whether it's your work, your job, whether it's something you were going to go to that got canceled, has been affected somehow by this. Okay? See, that's several in the room. Okay? And it, what happens is when that happens to you, this is what I discovered this week, when that happens to you, all of a sudden now this becomes real. This leaps off a page and then, oh, this is really going on. So my story was Wednesday, my phone goes off and it is Mandy from Good Sam telling me, yeah, Ed, I know you do Bible study on the fourth Wednesday. You've done that for so many years, but until further notice, Bible study is not happening. No volunteers are being allowed in. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, okay, this is a little higher level, a little more serious. And then you just watch what's unfolded for the rest of the week. And so I want to, as your pastor, to try to just help us navigate this for a moment. Because I think there's different ways we should respond as people of God. That's what I'm called this morning, as followers of Jesus, we can respond differently. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, this is a great time to consider that and think about that, what it means to follow him and what Jesus gives us in times like this. But I think it's this whole struggle that all of us have in different ways between fear or trust when it comes to Christ, when it comes to God, that we battle this. Am I afraid, so I'm going to take matters into my own hands, or am I going to trust God in the midst of what's happening and what's going on? And that's just something I see all throughout Scripture that I think is important to talk about. Do you know the first decision to disobey God was done out of fear? Now, fear isn't a bad thing. Fear's like anger. It's not bad until we do something bad out of it. Okay, because we're angry, we, you know, act violent, we say things we shouldn't say. Because we're afraid, we start doing things that we shouldn't do. And you understand that's what Eve was convinced by the serpent. God's holding out on you. And instead of trusting that God had given Adam and Eve everything and provided for them and took care of them, they looked and said, no, I don't think so. And they operated and grabbed that fruit out of fear that God had somehow left them out, that God had kept something away from them. And that's the story of Scripture, okay? That all the individuals that we look at, from Abraham to Moses to Saul to David, they all gave into fear and disobeyed what God told them. Every single one of them. You should read those stories because they're encouraging. Oh, man, they're just like me. They did that. Because I do that, you probably find yourself doing it at times. You get afraid, and instead of doing what you know you're supposed to do in following Christ, you make a different decision. And then later you look back and go, oh, why did I do that? I did that out of fear. I just did that out of fear. Why do you think we have such tensions in the Middle East? Because Abraham was given a promise. You're going to be a great nation, Abraham. You're going to be a great nation. In fact, God changes his name and reminds him of that. But when Lot left, because Abraham almost like believes, okay, Lot's going to be the heir, but Lot leaves. And he looks and he goes, I'm old. My wife's old. I don't think this is going to happen. What do? Hagar, come here. They have Ishmael. And God keeps his promise and Ishmael becomes a great nation. We have a huge conflict to this day because of that. Because God kept his word, Abraham, you're going to be a great nation. Do it my way. And Abraham and Sarah just did what most of us did. This is never going to happen. And they gave in to fear, and there they go. Moses was the same way. Gave in to fear, did not enter the promised land, missed out. Saul, we just looked at that story, where that was a story where David rose up from where everybody else was afraid and nobody would take on Goliath, to the point where he was ready to do that. And where was Saul? I'm afraid. And we can understand the giant's huge. He's scary. But he was afraid. And they all, these individuals, and you can just read about them, and I think it gives us great encouragement, that they did what we tend to do. They gave into fear, and they disobeyed what God told them to do. It happens. And so I think this is a good time to be reminded of that, and to be reminded that God wants us to make different choices when we get afraid, especially in times like this. One of, I think, the greatest stories is the story of Esther, where Esther's like to her cousin who had taken care of her, and she's like, you know, I can't go into the king. If I go in the wrong time, the king can have me killed. And he says something to her that triggers something. I love this phrase. And he looks at her and he says, who knows? Perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. And he called her to something that nobody had ever before. Hey, Esther, you don't have to fear. What if God orchestrated all of this to have you here in this moment to live out of trusting him instead of fear and see what happens because of that? So I'm asking, what if, because according to Paul, when he spoke to the people in Athens, he said, do you know that God puts us in the times that we are in? Okay? He puts us in the times that we are in, that we would trust him, that men would seek him, that people would look for him. So what if this is our time? Okay? We are alive for this time, and we get to act out of trust. And in acting out of trust, we actually get the opportunity to bring people to Christ because of that. So all of a sudden, oh, I wish I was alive during a different time. We're alive now, and I think this is our opportunity. Our opportunity to rise, our opportunity to shine, our opportunity to be all that God has called us to be as the local church. John, who we've been studying, do you know what he said? He understood how much he was loved. Because he understood how much he was loved by God. He says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. So that means when I'm leaning into fear so that I'm going to disobey God, I am not leaning into that I am loved, I am created, and that God has given me my identity. If I lean into any other identity, that's where I'm going to go. And I go there quite often. I don't know about you. I give into fear. And John says, do you know what? When you understand how much you're loved, that God loves you, you don't have to fear. Because perfect love eliminates all the fear. So if you ever read the stories of the early church and how it didn't matter, Peter, you either tell people that Caesar is God or we're going to crucify you. I don't care. I'm not saying Caesar is God. Okay, Caesar didn't walk out of the tomb. I saw it myself, right? I saw him. No, I'm not saying Caesar is God. And he refused to do that. Well, how did he stand up in the midst of all that pressure and all that fear that could have came in? That perfect love expelled and pushed out and cast out that fear. What if we just allowed that to do that within us? That this is the time to lean even harder into God's love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if we would lean into that, perhaps we would have the opportunity to speak into the people around us who are very uncertain now. And you know why? Because the philosophy of this age, okay, has lied to them. It has told them live for yourself. It has told them do whatever you want. And now there's a gaping hole because, wait a minute, well, this virus could change everything. And all of a sudden, life hangs in the balance, and we don't know what to do. It is why Jesus told his disciples and those who were around him that day this. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, trust God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And when mortality gets on the line, we just ask different questions. We just ask different questions. I think it's really interesting that all sorts of things got canceled. And we have an opportunity to say, what do we do during this time? So I'm saying for you and I, if you're following Jesus, don't be afraid of the virus that can kill the body. Put your trust in God. That's what we need to be in these moments. That's what we need to lean into. Because I think that's where the church rises up and becomes the city on the hill, what Jesus spoke about and taught about. We ought to lean into trust, not fear. So may I offer some suggestions? And I am nowhere perfect in this, okay? I just get to lead this and say, I've screwed this up quite a bit over the last week. And so maybe we can all make a different decision to do something different. So let me offer some suggestions that I think we're called to do something different in these times, okay? The first one is we pray not panic. We pray not panic. In fact, we're going to do that here in a few moments. Because whether you know it or not, the president declared this a day of prayer and asked that people everywhere pray. So we are going to do that here in a moment. But that's how we should respond. We don't need to panic. We need to pray. Because that is acknowledging who is in control and in charge and asking God, God, you got to help me in the midst of this because I don't know what to do. So we pray not panic. We trust, not fear. We lean into God. Okay, God, I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea what's taking place, but I'm going to trust you in the midst of this. So you got a plan and you are working out of everything that's taking place. We love. Do you know what the opposite of love is? Apathy. This is where we start saying things like, well, the real threat is anybody over 70. I'm not over 70, so who cares, right? That's where we get apathetic, okay? And we don't understand that as followers of Jesus, we value all life, and we don't dare just diminish something because, well, it doesn't affect my age group, okay? That's apathy. It sets in all the time. It's very easy to set in, okay? And so we need to be careful. We have people in our own congregation who are not the age they're talking about, but have issues, underlining issues, okay, that might lead them to say, I need space, they can't come and worship here, and we need to pour out love into their lives and figure out ways we can help them and can support them. Not just be apathetic. Not just say it doesn't affect me. That's the opposite of love, and that's what we can never do as Christ followers. We share, we don't hoard. Okay? You're like, man, I could have used this a couple days ago, man, okay? I got a closet full of toilet paper, right? So, isn't it true? I mean, I was standing in Walmart yesterday talking to a friend, and you know, we're just looking down at these shelves and going, what's going on, right? What's happening? And so, do you understand? The early church learned what it was to share with one another. And so, there might be moments, guess what? We need to learn what it is to share with one another during this time. Okay? Who's going to bring the first roll, right? Come on. Who's going to be willing to do that? Because that's what we're called to do. We're not called to hoard and be afraid. We're called to share and say, how can I help you? How can I serve you? So, now, let me make three suggestions. Because probably some of you have had stuff that's been canceled. Some of you have extra time, right? Some of you are like, I don't know what to do now. All my stuff got canceled, right? I told Stephen, what are we going to do? There's no sports. This is terrible, right? This is terrible. No, I don't want to watch the golf tournament for last year. I already know who won that thing, okay? Right? Are you there yet? You're just like, what on earth, right? You've all of a sudden, there's been some space created. And I think that's really good. Because I think we could all confess we have been running far too fast for far too long. And we haven't understood that God created rest. And we have blown through some of those things. And this is a natural point, I think, that God's given us to slow us down. And when we slow down, I think we can do some things during the slowdown period that I'm going to ask you to think about and consider doing. Out of this whole idea that we're going to pray and we're going to share and we're going to help and we're going to love one another. The first one is this. Reevaluate your time priorities. This is a good time to do that. If all the stuff's been canceled, why are you running around like crazy anyway? Right? Why do we do that to ourselves? For what cause, for what end? And perhaps what we're going to get is an opportunity to reevaluate and say, is it that important? Is it that vital? Is it? And this might be a natural time just to think through some things, and we might find ourselves stop just continuing. Hey, good, cancel's over. Well, we're not going to do it anyway. Because it's not important. It's not vital. All it's doing is pushing us harder and harder and maybe away from things that are really important. So I think this is a great time. We ought to take time and reevaluate our time and priorities. What am I giving my time to? What am I giving my priorities to? What am I doing for all the parents in the room? How am I helping my kids do that? How am I helping my kids do that? Because, you know, let's just be honest. That's all we heard. If Karen was here, Karen's in Kentucky, Karen could tell you what we heard sitting around the table on, I've got all this stuff going on, and no time for anything. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where did we get to that point? So I think it's a great time to reevaluate our time and priorities. I think this is a good time to reconnect with your family, friends, and neighbors. I think it's a really good time to do that. Because when you slow down, you have time to do that. You might find yourself in a situation like me. Our neighbor has COPD. That's one of those underlying conditions. So that means, okay, so how can we help him? How can we help him during this time? Because there might be times he's like, yeah, I need stuff, but I do not want to go down to that store, right? Because that's, so how can we help and how can we serve? And some of you are going to find out you have the same people. But this is a great time to reconnect with your family, friends, neighbors, because again, some of that stuff's been canceled, and you have time now, and maybe you're looking at each other going, what do we do now, right? What do we do? How about reconnect again and build some relationships back? And this is what's going to be really important. It's really going to be important when you look around. Because again, we're going to have people in our own midst who just for safety reasons, because they have underlying conditions and because of their age, just can't come. And we have to figure out how can I reach out to them? How can I encourage them? How can I help them? I think this is where social comes in huge and will give us those opportunities to do that, to reconnect with people and to encourage people and to help people. And third one is reach out. Look for opportunities to give and serve in the name of Jesus. Just look for those because they're going to be around. They're just going to be around. That there are going to be opportunities. There are going to be opportunities to actually serve in the name of Jesus. And people are like, why are you doing this? Because Jesus served, loved, and gave everything for me. And this is our opportunity. This is why I think this is a moment where the church can really shine. It can really shine. It can really make a difference. We can really make a huge difference in a culture that's become very cynical about the church, very cynical about God, very cynical about, is Scripture really true? I just think this is our moment to blow through all that. And when they find that people love them and serve them, it is going to open up incredible conversations for people to come to know Christ that you're going to have because you're there to help somebody else. I just made an offer to one of our people this morning because they're like, well, they want me to work from home. I don't know if I want to work from home. So work here. We have internet here, okay? I'll find you a corner, okay? You work here, right? That's what I mean. Some of these are very simple things that you and I can do to help and serve and encourage one another. So we want to take a few moments before Cheyenne and the team come up and lead us in one more song to pray. And I'm going to ask my lead elder to come up here. Come up here, Dave. Right? All the elders love me this morning. I'm putting them to work. Come on. Because I want you to start the prayer. And I'm going to pray as well. And I want you in your seats to pray for the same thing. For our world, for our country, for our state, for our county, for our city. Just because there's so much going on. And then as you're in your seats this morning, would you pray for boldness in the midst of fear? Because I think if we would walk around with confidence in who Jesus is and about everything he's done, it would help us to live and serve differently. So, Dave, if you pray, then I'll pray after you.
Father, you are the loving God. And Father, we know that we have fear, but you can take care of those fears. We know that you know the very best for us. So, Father, at this time, I do pray for our city, our church, our state, our country and Father of the world. Father, you always make good out of the struggles that we see. You always make good out of the fears that we have. Father, may we give you these fears. May we allow you to work good from the things that are going on in this world. Father, you can change lives. You do change lives. Father, I thank you for our team that went to Kentucky. Father, I just pray that you would bless them both in safety travel, in safety that nobody would get sick. But most of all, Lord, I just pray that you would use them to reach those that are around them. I pray that you would change their lives as you use them in a mighty way. But Father, there's also mission fields here as we, as Christians, go out. We have co-workers in fear. We have relatives in fear. We have people that we just come in contact with in fear. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to be good stewards of those chances that we have to minister to those around us. Father, we just praise you and thank you for the opportunities that you give. And Father, I just pray that you would give us a boldness to be able to reach out to those. And Father, again, I just thank you for all that you do. I pray that you would be with each and every one that is here. I pray that, again, you would keep them safe. I pray that you would show them ways to minister to those in need. And I thank you all for all of this in Jesus' name.
Father, in the early church, there was a time when a plague was spreading. And what changed the heart of the Roman Empire was your followers' response to that plague. Changed the entire empire, who tried to squash and push out and eliminate this group called Christians. It all of a sudden adopted their teaching and led the way. But what happened? They saw a group respond differently than everybody else, and it changed the world. And that's what I pray for now. This is our opportunity, Jesus, as followers of you, to respond differently and see the world be changed. To see revival come in our land so that people would give up chasing empty thinking, empty living, and would find their hope and their life in you. I believe you want to do that. I believe you want to do that through your people living differently from everybody else, choosing to trust and not to fear. So I pray you would help us to do that, because that's a hard decision, because it's easy just to get caught up and watch everything on social and watch all the news and just lock the door and stay inside. You have called us to something greater than that. And that is to love and serve and help one another and to do different than everybody else. So we pray for our leaders that you would help them, that they would lean into your wisdom as they carry out directives right now. And I pray for your people to rise up like never before and live out that our Savior rose from the grave triumphantly, and that death brings no fear because we trust you. So help us to do that. Help us to live that out. And as we end now with a proclamation that our fear doesn't have a chance when we stand in your love, that we want to live that out and declare that and leave in that kind of enthusiasm, ready to do what you call us to do. And we thank you. We ask you to direct us and lead us and work in a powerful way through us. In Jesus' name, amen.